episode 128 of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting podcast network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you for another week of Knicks and NBA talk. How's everybody doing this week? Couple housekeeping items to start out. I'm recording this podcast very late on Thursday night because it's been a busy couple of days, been a busy night. My voice, honestly, is shot. I'm not gonna lie. I'm keeping it pretty low because I was just yelling a lot. And that is because I was at the Seton Hall men's basketball game that happened on Thursday night. My beloved Pirates beating number 7 Texas at the Rock. My first arena sporting event in 2 years, and couldn't have had any more fun. It was so much fun being there. Pirates played extremely well. Obviously, this is a Knicks podcast, but I'm going to give a little bit of love to the alma mater real quick. For those that have listened to this podcast for the last few years, you guys know I love me some college basketball. I cover college basketball, still do from time to time. And it was just great being there as a fan, as an alum, with a couple of other alums, friends of mine, and we had a great time. And, it was just a lot of fun. It felt very cool being back there. And Seton Hall picked up a huge win. So I'm very excited for the Pirates. And obviously, it's affecting my voice on the podcast. So I apologize for that. I tried to record it before I left to go to the game. However, I was not able to do so. So you're stuck with me like this for this week. I apologize for that. I'm keeping it kind of low because I don't want to totally blow out my vocal cords and and wake up tomorrow with a very, very sore throat. So a lot of chance from me. So I apologize that my voice is a little bit lower than it normally would be. But the show goes on, as they say. So I'm excited to talk some Knicks with you guys. As always, talk some NBA this week as well. Tough week for the Knicks overall. I want to get to some NBA stuff later on. Talk maybe a little bit of Lakers Celtics and the back and forth conversation that continues about where the Lakers stand at the moment, and to kind of give a wide range of thoughts on the NBA. Cause this week is kind of a good week to do that. We're getting a good amount of games under everybody's belt. The Knicks have played 25 games. We have a decent idea of where they're at the moment. And we'll talk about some concerns revolving around the Knicks in a second, but I do want to, kind of give a little bit of a state of the NBA, later on as well. Contenders, things like that, teams that are looking good, teams that are not. So, let's start with the Knicks, obviously. Tough week. There's really no other way to go about it. Knicks lost a tough one against the Bulls. Again, we're talking, when we go, for those that are just kind of joining the show, when we go week by week, it's the week between podcasts for me. That's kind of how I tend to do it. It's how that we've always kind of run things around here. The Knicks really had to fight back against Chicago, and I apologize if I went over this game already, but I felt like this was worth rehashing just because this was a game that really could have been a momentum shifter for the Knicks, and that first quarter really, really hurt them, and they tried extremely hard in the second half, to get back into the game. Knicks trailed 37-19 after the first quarter. They had a big 12-point swing in the third, and came up just short, 119-115. It was much better from Julius Randle that night, but DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, who's just a Knick killer time and time again, and Zach LaVine had 34, 27, and 27, respectively. And that was enough. No other Bulls were in double figures. It was those three stars that were able to shine the brightest. Knicks had five players in double figures. Randle had 30, Burks, who I thought, despite his tough shooting, made some big free throws in this one. I think he went 9 of 10 from the line. Got some good shooting from Evan Fournier, who made 4 of 10 from 3. You'll take that. He had 16 quickly, had 15. And D. Rose, perfect from the free throw line, 8 of his 16 points and 6 assists off the bench. This was just a game that came down to late execution. And the Knicks were not able to make enough plays down the stretch. I thought it was very frustrating, some of the defensive plays we saw from the Knicks in the final 3 minutes, to be quite honest with you. I thought the Bulls were pretty predictable with what they were trying to do, and the Knicks were not able to make enough stops down the stretch. I was very disappointed with the way the Knicks finished the game. Felt like a game that was right there again for the taking. And for some reason, man, for some reason at home this season, the Knicks have extremely struggled. And they, at the time, were 5-7 on their home floor. I believe they're now 5-8 after the game we'll get to next. So they're currently 5-8 at MSG. That's not good enough. It's not good enough at all. The Knicks would be in pretty bad shape if they didn't have a decent away record. They are 7-5 away from MSG this year. The Knicks would be in dire straits right now, some would say, probably, if the Knicks were below 500 away from MSG. You know, this would be a totally different look right now. And it's not good right now, but it would be even worse if the Knicks were struggling on the road. They're doing rather well on the road. They just can't seem to put it together consistently at Madison Square Garden. It's been a very weird MSG schedule at home so far. Knicks have had some good home wins out of those five, but there have been some pretty bad ones out of the eight losses. The Bulls one is frustrating just because the Knicks had a chance to complete a memorable comeback in this game, and it was there for the taking for them in the fourth quarter. But the Bulls made a couple of tough shots, and I thought that DeMar DeRozan, you know, was not handled properly by the Knicks defensively. And listen, give him some credit. He had to make a couple of tough shots, but the Knicks kind of knew what was going to happen and didn't really adjust. And down the stretch, I thought there was a bit of a breakdown at times defensively from the Knicks defensively, and apologies for repeating, but it's frustrating because this is a team that should have its identity ingrained on the defensive end of the floor, and we've seen some lapses there in key moments. And listen, you know, the Bulls are very good. I want to talk about them actually in the second half of the show, but this is a game the Knicks should have won. And listen, you know, if you want to look at the grand scheme of the game, the first quarter cost the Knicks. They just didn't show up in the first quarter, and they outplayed the Bulls, I thought, for the rest of the game, but they gave themselves too big of a deficit to have to come back from. You can't spot a team like Chicago an 18-point lead after one quarter. You can't do it and expect to win. So there's that as well. And I thought this was a game that the Knicks should have won. You know, it felt like one that the Knicks let slip away. And you could argue they lost in the first quarter, but they had chances in the fourth quarter to win it, and they weren't able to do so, which shows the inconsistency, especially, I think, on the defensive end of the floor, where the Knicks need to be at their best. So that was a disappointing game, and then it got more disappointing at MSG against Denver. And Denver, to be fair, has always been a team the Knicks have struggled with, it seems like, in recent years. But they just had no answers, the Knicks, for the Joker, Nikola Jokic. He was phenomenal. Was it Zeke Nagy, I believe, off the bench? He also had a phenomenal night, and the Knicks had no answers for him either. 32 and 21 points, respectively, between those two. And listen, the Joker had a big night. He was efficient. He hit threes. He had 11 rebounds. You know, there's just some nights where you're not going to be able to get the job done in the NBA. There's a lot of stars out there, and Nikola Jokic shined very bright at MSG. But that makes, I mean, for me, and the Knicks lost 113-99, obviously. But This felt like a winnable game going in because Denver has struggled away from home. At home, they've been very good this season, like many teams in the Western Conference. Home court has been very kind to Denver. But on the road, they've been, I think they're four games below 500, three or four games below 500 away from home, something like that. At least they were after the game against the Knicks. So extremely, extremely disappointing. I thought that Denver did a really good job of slowly but surely wearing the Knicks down in this game. You know, the Knicks held their, they were kind of in it for a while in the first half, but Denver had a pretty healthy lead at the break, I think of 9 points. And then in the third quarter, they slowly but surely chipped it away. Or I should say chipped further into the lead. So, and I think it was really a hefty margin going into the fourth, and that was pretty much that. The Knicks, you know, finally got a little bit going in the fourth, but it was way too late. And, you know, Julius Randle, stat-wise, I thought was okay, but I you know, he was thoroughly outplayed in this game. There's no question about it. He had 24, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, so statistically he looked good, but he should have had a much bigger night, I felt like. Could have had 30 points, I think, in this game. Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett. By the way, RJ Barrett has been really, really tough to watch of late. He has been very, very poor at times, and it's tough to see. It's tough to see. You're expecting RJ Barrett to be the guy. And we'll get to, you know, a good game that he had this week in a second, but for the most part, he has really been up and down. He's been as inconsistent as the Knicks as a whole this season. And I thought against Denver, I mean, 1 of 7 from three, made some mistakes defensively as well. He only had 13 points, you know, and then the bench, I thought didn't do enough in this game. Derrick Rose was in double figures, and was efficient from the field, but not from deep, but he had 4 turnovers in this game, which is way too high, for him. So that was a bit frustrating to see. But listen, you know, this is kind of another point that I wanted to make on the show this week. The Knicks are going to be in trouble if they can't figure out this point guard situation. That's the bottom line. This is not really a difficult thing to navigate right now with the Knicks. And this, by the way, is impacting both ends of the floor. No question about it. Without Kemba Walker, the Knicks, and I know, listen, I get it. There's a reason that Tibbs has moved away from him. But if the Knicks are going to do anything that we're expecting them to do this year, making the playoffs and making a run into the playoffs deep, winning a round, possibly 2 rounds, they need a point guard. This is why Kemba Walker was brought here. And this whole stretch where he's not playing, you are seeing the issues the Knicks have when they don't have a point guard starting the game, first of all. You know, Alec Burks has got to be in there with Fournier and Barrett, and that's not going to get it done. It's just not. Not consistently. And Rose and Quickley off the bench at times are doing what they need to do, but without a point guard on the floor, it is not going to work. It's just not, you know? And clearly Derrick Rose cannot play those minutes. It's clear. It's why he's on the bench. The whole point of bringing in Kemba Walker was to take some of the load off of Derrick Rose. So this formula right now is why you're seeing the Knicks fluttering, you know, around 500, currently below 500. That's the deal. And the Knicks are going to have to figure it out on the defensive end of the floor more consistently. But I think having a point guard back there, whether the Knicks are going to trade Kemba Walker or not, they got to figure this out. Because that is one of the biggest problems, I think, that's plaguing this team at the moment. Knicks lost 113-99, obviously, to Denver. Listen, they finally ended the skid initially against a really bad San Antonio Spurs team. This is probably the worst team that Pop has had. The same Spurs team, by the way, earlier this Thursday night that beat Denver 123, I believe, to 111. So they did pick up a ninth victory. But listen, the Knicks bounced back well. The third quarter, I thought, was the best of the quarters for the Knicks, if you're breaking it down like that. Didn't need a ton from Julius Randle scoring the basketball because R.J. Barrett had a career night, 32 points. And I mentioned, you know, we were going to get to his good game of the weekend of the season, one of the better games he's played as a Knick, period, end of story. 11 of 20, 7 of 8 from 3, which is obviously not going to happen every night. But 32 points, and he just had it going, you know. But it's, I really hope that at some point when we're talking about R.J. Barrett, that we're, you know, getting 17, 18 points a night, because it's either 32 or it's 13 or it's, you know, 21 or it's 9. You know, it's all over the place when you look at R.J. Barrett's game logs. You know, R.J. Barrett is averaging 15 points per game this season. I think he should be averaging 18 points per game. I really do. He should be averaging more, and it's got to be more consistent, in my opinion. I mean, just look at his last five games. I mean, that will tell you this. Actually, I could actually flare it out even more than that when you're looking at his season so far. Look at his last 10 games, R.J. Barrett. I mean, that tells the story. 17, 11, this is all points, by the way, 17, 11, 9, 12, 10, 15, 4, 13, 32, 19 in the loss to Indiana, which we'll get to briefly in a second. That's all over the place. And there's two single-digit ones in there. I mean, R.J. Barrett had a game earlier this year against Charlotte about a month ago where he had 2 points in 26 minutes. And in the month of November alone, R.J. Barrett had 5 games where he didn't break into double figures. That can't happen. That simply cannot happen on this team. He had one in November. He had, what was it, what did I say? 5? In December. I'm sorry, he had one in October, pardon me. And he had 5 in November. Those games can't happen. And by the way, every time R.J. Barrett this season has scored in single digits, the Knicks have lost. Every time. Actually, all but once. He had 7 points in a win over Orlando, second game of the season. And because Evan Fournier went off and everybody else went off, and Orlando was terrible that night, they've dodged it. But the last 6 times that R.J. Barrett has scored, or I should say 5, that he scored in single digits, the Knicks have lost. More times than not, you're not going to win if R.J. Barrett's not in double figures. That's the bottom line. And listen, 121-109, you get a hard-fought win in San Antonio. Knicks dictated the game. You know, it was great to see Nerlens Noel have a big night. He was great, I thought, in this game defensively. Didn't need anything from him offensively. Burks was phenomenal. Had 18 and 5 assists. Quickly, Rose, Robinson, 16, 12, and 11, respectively. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you're going to get when your stars are playing well. When Barrett or Randle or Fournier is able to pick up the slack. And listen, right? Burks is kind of filling that Kemba role right now. If he's not scoring a lot, the Knicks are not going to win. They need those points from that position. They need that fifth guy who's going to be this kind of point guard role right now with Burks filling in the starting lineup. He's got to score double figures every night. That's a big ask. And luckily, for the most part this year, Alec Burks has been up to the task, but it's not going to happen every night. He's just not that kind of player. You know, and now, you know, you look at this stretch for the Knicks and they've won, what, 2 of their last 7 games. And to be fair, it's not as drastic when Alec Burks doesn't get into double figures. He's had 23, 25, 16, 11, 18, and 15. He's been in double figures in each of the last 6 games. And he's been in double figures 10 of the last 11 games. When you expand it out to that far, Knicks have won roughly four out of 10. They've won, they're 4-6 in the last 10 games. So guys are trying to fill these roles, but it's not natural. It's not how it was meant to be for this Knicks team. And they're paying the price a little bit right now for not having Kemba Walker or an established point guard in that position. Really quick, I know I'm a little up against it time-wise, but I thought the Pacer loss the other night was extremely, extremely tough to watch. You know, I saw the highlight of the Obi Toppin dunk and then watched the rest of the game from there. Basically, when I tuned it in, it was about two plays before that Obi Toppin dunk, which was great. He's a phenomenal dunker between the legs. Was great, but I thought that was going to be a moment where the Knicks can kind of get back in the game and you know, use that as some energy. And the Knicks lost three of the four quarters. They didn't win any of them. And the Pacers, who were shorthanded as well, by the way, this was not anywhere near a full strength Indiana outfit, and all five starters were in double figures. They were just throwing it together on the bench. I mean, I think they played eight guys off the bench. Talk about just piecing it together. And none of them were in double figures. The starters killed the Knicks in this game. And this one hurt the most, I think, because this was a chance to get back to above 500 for this Knicks team. And it's against an Indiana team that, you know, the Knicks have struggled with a little bit, but they should not be giving up 122 points to a Indiana team that was just not up for it, you know, or shouldn't have been up for it. You know, they didn't play great, Indiana, to be quite frank with you. They didn't play that well. The Knicks just weren't good. Pacers were shorthanded and really were nothing special. They really weren't. And I mean, one of the few times when you looked over, I think there was an article even written about this, looked over at Coach Thibodeau, and he was perplexed. He was just like, man, what is going on right now on this basketball court? My team's not playing well, and the Pacers are just running us off the floor. And they frankly shouldn't have been. They really should not have been. Knicks didn't shoot it that badly. I mean, they shot 30% from three, which isn't great, but they shot 42% from the field. It was the defensive end. They allowed Indiana, a shorthanded Indiana that was just a makeshift bench behind the starters, to shoot 53.5%. Just not good enough. Just not good enough. Pacers made 10 more buckets than the Knicks. It's just not good enough. Extremely tough to take. And to be fair, Knicks didn't look great in the first game in Indiana. Didn't look great then either, but this was a blowout. This was a rout at times. It never really felt like the Knicks were going to get back into this game. And that's where the concerns are starting to come. It's why you're starting to see, you know, is it time to worry about the Knicks tweets and articles and headlines? And you know, this is a kind of game where you start to look and you're like, man, a game below 500, not playing well at the Garden. You know, Kemba's situation continues. And you got to wonder, what are the Knicks going to do here? It really is a perplexing situation. I got to take a break here. I'm going to wrap up the Knicks points after this. And we'll talk Bulls, we'll talk Lakers, and we'll talk big picture NBA after this on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. Second half of the show, Sean St. Jacques back here with you. Just want to quickly wrap up my point about the Knicks. Didn't get a full chance to do that. Had to take a break, obviously. So I just wanted to kind of give my last thoughts for the week on the Knicks here, because this is a difficult situation. You know, this is a tricky, what's the right word? Conundrum that the Knicks have to deal with right now. And you know, 25 games in, I'll admit, I was not expecting the Knicks to be a game below 500. I thought the Knicks, you know, would hopefully be a few games above 500. And the Knicks have obviously not been able to be consistent enough defensively. They clearly have not figured out what they want to do with Kemba Walker. So the point guard position is non-existent right now. You're playing with three shooting guards, none of whom know how to run an offense. All three can score, but they're all inconsistent. At least Fournier and Barrett have been. Burks, for the most part, has been good. So the Knicks have got to figure that out. They've got to figure out whether they're going to trade Kemba or if they're going to try to go back to him and figure this out, because they need somebody else in there. They do. They're not going to last if they do not address this issue. And then the defensive inconsistencies, which is a direct, you know, hit on the credibility of Tom Thibodeau. This has not been good the last maybe month, you could argue, but really the last 2 weeks have really been a struggle for this Knicks team defensively against good teams and against bad teams. I mean, that's pretty easy to see that whether the Knicks play the Nuggets or the Bulls, or they play the Spurs, or they play the Pacers, the Knicks are not exactly doing well defensively in these games. So it has been a big, big issue and has to be taken care of. I think Nerlens Noel working himself back in is going to be a big boost for this team. But again, you look at the guard play. Have RJ Barrett at times and not having Kemba, and again, Kemba's not there really for his defense, but just having a leader out on the floor is crucial, you know. And Derrick Rose can't play 40 minutes a night. It's not going to happen. He's going to play 25 minutes and hopefully get 15 points. That's why he's there. So, and obviously to be a leader on this team. So this has to be addressed. The Knicks have got to figure this out. I think they will. You know, I trust Tom Thibodeau. I trust this staff. I think they will make a decision on Kemba sooner rather than later, and then we'll see when they decide to execute it. But Knicks have got to start winning games. It's not going to get easier. I talked about this stretch coming up a couple of episodes ago, if not the last episode for the Knicks. This is a very critical juncture in this season. Knicks are currently 11th in the East, half game back of Boston for the play-in spots and a game and a half back of Cleveland, of all teams, for a spot directly into the playoffs. Knicks play the Raptors on Friday. You'll be listening to the podcast, hopefully, when this game is played. So I'll react to it next week. But that's a must-win game in Toronto. Knicks have got to have it. Knicks have got to have it. And it's, you know, the end of this three-game road trip would be a big boost if the Knicks could get back to 500 and go 2-1 on this road trip before they welcome Milwaukee and then Golden State to MSG, two huge games that I think the Knicks really need to grab at least one. They've got to grab one of them before it eases a little bit. Houston away, Boston away as well, then Detroit, Washington, Atlanta for Christmas Day. So you want to be above 500 going into the new year. That's the bottom line. Minnesota after that, Detroit, and then New Year's Eve at OKC. When you're going to Toronto again on January 2nd, Knicks have got to be above 500. That's a mark that they need to hit, I think, in these last few weeks of December. It's a very big juncture in this schedule for the Knicks. Winnable games and games that will test the Knicks mixed in as well, with Milwaukee, Golden State, Boston, Washington, Atlanta, and I would throw in Minnesota as well. So these are all important games. These are games the Knicks have to have. You know, the Knicks have got to get back on track, and we'll see if they're going to be able to do it. So, but for the time being, Knicks have got a lot of things that they've got to iron out as we get closer and closer to 2022's section of the regular season. Want to drop this in quickly so I don't have to at the end, but if you guys want to talk to me live, I'm still on Clubhouse, of course. Shock Shock Knicks Talk is the place to follow me there. Haven't been on there as much as I'd liked to be over the last few weeks. Haven't had the chance to do any NBA Fan Club stuff either, but follow NBA Fan Club. We're trying to continue to build this thing. I believe, let me double check, but the group has continued to grow on Clubhouse, both NBA Fan Club and Knicks, Shock Shock Knicks Talk as well. So you guys, really appreciate you giving us some support over there as well. And I've been trying my best to find time to to do this stuff, but I think we just got over 200 members on the Shock Shock Knicks Talk, and we have. So that's a huge testament to you guys. Really appreciate the support over there, and hopefully we'll be, you know, if we can, obviously. Holidays are, you know, coming up, Christmas shopping as well, but hopefully we will be able to get on there a little bit more, whether it's in December or hopefully the new year as well. We'll wrap things up talking about some of the other teams around the NBA. Again, if you're just kind of skipping around the podcast as well, I do want to mention, I just got back from a college basketball game as a fan. It's been 2 years since I've been a fan at an indoor sporting event. My first sporting event, you know, not post COVID, obviously we're still in it, but, you know, in a safer, you know, living with COVID kind of a thing, was going to a San Francisco Giants game with a buddy of mine that lives out west. So this is my first indoor, sporting event. I'm going to try to get to a Knicks game, hopefully in the next couple of months, variants pending, obviously. But, I was at a Seton Hall men's basketball game and my alma mater took down Texas. I was yelling a lot. It was exciting. It was a great atmosphere. The Rock was awesome. And it was great to see Seton Hall come out with a win over a top 10 team. And that's why my voice is so low. I'm trying not to completely blow up my vocal cords. But we were cheering hard for Seton Hall and was really happy with the win, obviously, but also trying to keep it a little low-key recording this a few hours after I got back from the game. So, but let's wrap things up. A quick whip around, easy for me to say, the NBA here to wrap things up this week. And, you know, listen, I think the first team I want to talk about is the Chicago Bulls. They lost the other night, I believe, Chicago. But overall, they are living up to the hype. They lost to Cleveland, who I want to briefly touch on as well. But Chicago is currently in second place. The resurgent Milwaukee Bucks, who have gotten back on track, are in third. Miami, who's looked pretty good for most of the season, is in fourth. Washington, who's been a bit of a surprise, is in fifth. And then Cleveland as well. Three teams that I didn't expect to be there right now. So at the moment, you know, the Knicks, out of the teams above them, have the worst home record, you know, out of the top 10 teams, or 11, Knicks sitting 11th at the moment in the East. Knicks have the worst home record. That is really the difference. They have one of the better road records of that group, but they've got one of the worst home records. That's the difference. So Chicago has been living up to the hype. I think I mentioned early in the season that Chicago should be a team that should be watched. They were my dark horse coming into this season to potentially overachieve, and so far they have 17-9, and they're a half game back of the still Kyrie-less Brooklyn Nets, who are in first place, looking not too bad without him at the moment. So it's one of those things where the Bulls are playing extremely well. They deserve credit. They could be a top four seed when it's all said and done. I mean, we could be looking at Brooklyn. We could be looking at Milwaukee. I don't know if Philly's going to get there. They've got a shot at it, but if not Philly, it could be Miami. And then the only other two I think that could get there, they got to figure it out, obviously. But the Knicks could figure it out still, I think, for a top four seed. But I also think that Atlanta, who's a game ahead of the Knicks right now, could also potentially figure things out. So we'll see. Again, the Knicks-Raptors game that you guys will hopefully be listening to either before or after the podcast goes out. It'll go out, obviously, on the Friday morning before the game. So pre-game, maybe a little listen. Post-game, maybe a little listen. Or maybe later on in the weekend. However you guys like to do it. And we'll have to see. we'll have to see how it goes, just because that's a big game. Knicks are only a game ahead of the Raptors right now, so you want to get a little bit of a gap back on Toronto as well. So, but Chicago, looking at the top half right now, Chicago's playing extremely well. I want to give the Cavs a bit of a shout-out. I don't know if they can keep this up, I'll admit that, but the way they've played, more specifically on the road this season, the Cavs have really been impressive away from, I think it's still Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. They've been phenomenal. I've really taken aback by how Cleveland has played at the start of this season. Now, again, I think they're starting to get a little bit of injury problems themselves, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see if they can keep it up. They'd be a big surprise. I had Cleveland well out of the playoffs, and I'm looking it up now. It's now Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. They've played well away from Cleveland this year. They're below 500 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. But when you look at, what are they, 8-5, I think? They're 8-5 away from home. Never would have thought that. No chance that I would have expected Cleveland to be where they are right now. Now, we could be talking in 2 weeks, they could be 12th. You know, it's very tight right now. But they're coming off a big win over the Bulls. They played the Bucks tough. They played Utah tough as well. They beat the Wizards. They beat the Heat. They beat the Mavericks this season as well. By the way, they went to Miami and blitzed the Heat. Blitzed them. You know, very impressive win there for the Cavs. And, you know, listen, you look at the stats. And, you know, to be honest, I haven't had too much of a chance to watch Cleveland live this year just because they're out of market. I don't think they've been on national television yet. But Garland, Allen, who's looked great, the former Net player, Colin Sexton, who's the one that's dealing with injuries at the moment, Lauri Markkanen has been a great addition to this Cleveland attack, and Evan Mobley, I should say, has been great, you know. And then Rubio, to be fair, Ricky Rubio has been pretty solid off the bench. So Mobley, Rubio, Markkanen, Sexton when he's healthy, Allen and Garland, along with Kevin Love, who's only played 18 games but has been okay in those games. I don't know if they can keep this up, the Cavs, but there's some pretty talented players on this team. And Darius Garland, who was, you know, deemed as a risk coming out of college. I believe he went to Vanderbilt. He was hurt coming out of the draft. And Cleveland has a bit of a potential gem here in Darius Garland. So we will see. We'll see how it goes. But there are ones to watch right now in the Eastern Conference. Briefly in the West, I wanted to mention really quickly before we get out of here the topsy-turviness of this Lakers season, which continues. Again, they've, shocker, right? They've won 5 of their last 10. You know, what a surprise. They've been right down the middle this year. They're 13-13. You don't know always what you're going to get. AD's come under scrutiny once again. And it's one of those things where I just don't quite know what's going to happen with the Lakers this year. I think they're going to get out of the play-in, but it's very tight. They're tied right now with the Mavericks, who have played 2 less games than them. So we'll see. Denver's still below 500. They're still kind of trying to figure it out, which is why that loss the Knicks had is even more frustrating. Minnesota at one point was above 500 about a week ago, and now they've lost 4 in a row, and they've come back down to earth. So they were 11-10, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. But now they've lost 4 straight, and they are back down to 9th in the standings. And with the Sacramento Kings, who had to win 3 in a row to get there, it's kind of wild right now because the Blazers have really struggled. They've lost 4 in a row, 7 of the last 10, and they have won 1 road game this season. The Portland Trail Blazers have the 3rd best record at home in the West. The only 2 teams that have a better home record than the Trailblazers are 2nd place Phoenix and 1st place Golden State. other than them, Portland has the best home record in the West. However, here's the one problem. Portland has the joint worst road record in the NBA. They are 1-11 away from home this season, tied with the Houston Rockets. You can't make this stuff up. Will Portland blow it up? Should they have blown it up during the offseason? Tough to say. Tough to say. We'll see if they can figure it out. Again, it's the West. There's a lot of games left to be played. But man, oh man, this road stretch for the Blazers at the start of this season has been tough to watch. By the way, shocker, their only road win at Houston. How full circle is that for the Portland Trailblazers? My goodness. Just pitiful on the road. They'd won, you know, half of those games. The Blazers would be right in the middle of the top six. They'd be right there. But they just can't seem to figure it out away from home. Rockets, by the way, despite really being crap away from home, they've won seven straight games, by the way. Rockets have won seven in a row, and, you know, only one of those, by the way, was on the road. Their only road win of the season was a win at Oklahoma City, who is, you know, tied with them for the second worst record in the entire, in the West. The Pistons have the worst record in the NBA. The Rockets, though, have been impressive. And I'll get out of here on this. This is the murderer's row. It's not totally murderer's row, but this is the group of teams they've beaten. They beat the Bulls, the Hornets, and the Thunder at home. Then they beat OKC on the road. Then they came back home. They beat the Magic, the Pelicans, who have been god-awful without Zion. And it just, they played competitively at times, but they've just been so bad at closing games. And then they beat Brooklyn as well. So the Rockets of all of a sudden won a touchdown and an extra point in a row. And they have saved some face, to say the least, over these last few weeks. So it's wild. All I'm going to say to close this out is 25 games in, roughly, to this NBA season, all I know for sure is that Golden State is really good. The Suns are really good, and I don't know what the hell is going to go. What's going to go on? I can't even say it. I don't know what the hell is going to happen in the East. I have no idea. That's it. Those are my three checks here, my three boxes. Phoenix is really good. Golden State's really good, and I don't know what the heck's going to happen in the East. That's really all I got for you. That's my state of the NBA here. At the end of this week here, as I literally look at my watch here, December 9th turning into December 10th. I got to get this podcast to you guys, so I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much, as always, for listening to the podcast. We've gotten some great feedback over the last couple of weeks with the shows, and it really all comes back down to you guys, and I really appreciate you listening week in and week out. For those that just concluded with Hanukkah, hope you enjoyed that holiday with your family and with your friends, and hope you're enjoying the rest of the holiday season. That goes for everybody as well. So everyone out there, have a great week. Continue to enjoy the holiday season. Hopefully the Knicks will get back on track. We'll talk about that and more next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network. I'm going to go rest my voice, and I will talk to you all next week.